it gets a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together. Stand strong, it gets a little better now.
We can break it down, we can break it.
Stand tall, it gets a little better.
Well, hello, this is DJ Noni, and you're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. It is Friday, the 15th of February, 2013. I'm looking forward to sharing a treasure trove of information with you, life wisdom and insight on a variety of topics that'll spark your thinking and help you define your purpose. I'll feature news that has caught my eye, some tidbits from my own personal journey, interviews and visits with local everyday folks, including some of our Dominican University of California radio DJs, inspirational quotes, music, and more, all of which is meant to encourage you to reach your highest potential. Life, we can do this thing on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. Come on in, let's talk. Well, welcome to Finding Your Voice, everyone. And as you know, I like to start every show by taking a breath and relaxing. So sit back, maybe even close your eyes, and take a nice deep breath in and let it out. You also know that I love to begin every single show with what I am grateful for. And today, I am grateful for my ability to help others. This weekend, my husband and myself and some young people and other adults, the adult mentors, are going to go down to Mexico, Tijuana, Mexico, and build a home for a family there. This family has been living in the dirt, in a house made from cardboard, old garage doors, and tarps. And the group of us are going down, and we're going to build a home from scratch, by hand, no power tools, and give them a cement floor, solid wood walls with stucco exterior, and a wonderful secure roof, also windows and a door that locks. And this is going to boost their life and change their ability to have better health, better education, and give the family an opportunity to stay together. So I just want to say that I'm grateful that I have the resources and opportunity to help folks. So thank you all out there in the world for what you do to help people. And I'm grateful that I can help people. Today is a beautiful sunny day in Marin County. Let's see what the temperature is because I can feel it. So it's sunny, no clouds. It's about 66 degrees out. It is gorgeous out there today. Today I want to introduce you to a fellow DJ that I have in the studio with me, and his name is Todd McCleary. Hi, Todd.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. So great to have you. Todd is my engineer today. He's working the mixer board, and we're going to have a practice session. Tell us a little bit about your show, Todd, when it's on and what it's about.
I'll be delighted to. Well, we're talking about issues dealing with men in particular. So we've named it, hopefully it catches on, It's a Man's World. Men touring their world. We're looking at emotional needs, wants and desires, communication styles. You know, we're going the whole nine yards with this one. Health, nutrition, how we communicate with one another, how we communicate with the opposite sex, how we communicate and interact with young adults as well and kids. So we're going to look at all of that.
Your show is going to be wonderful. I'm really looking forward to listening to that.
I'm really excited to be finally doing it. It's been a couple of years in
progress.
Okay,
what day and time did you say it was on?
We're looking at Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
That's perfect. Okay, Wednesdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So everyone out there, remember to tune into radio.dominican.edu Wednesdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Well, Todd, part of what I do on my show every week is I have an angel message and a power thought. And angel messages are little inspirational messages that help you get a word or a concept into your mind that you can take with you the whole rest of the week. And then the power thoughts are a little longer affirmation. And those power thoughts, there's on the front, there's a power thought, and then there's a visualization. They're little cards that I have. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to take a music break right now, and I'm going to go get the angel messages and the power thought cards, and then we'll get on that. And I'm going to have you pick an angel message and power thought along with me. All right. Well, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and we'll be back in a few moments. This is DJ Noni. This is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. I'm here in the studio with Todd McClary.
Hello, Radio Land.
And we're just about to pick our angel message for this week and our power thought card. And if you're just joining us, angel messages are little inspirational words that you can carry with you throughout the week. I usually have my angel messages on a little bowl in my kitchen counter, but I've brought them here in a little plastic bag. So it's not very pretty, but it's efficient. So Todd, go ahead and pick your angel message. And I will also pick my message. Todd, go ahead and read yours.
My first angel in flight is purification.
Oh, I like purification. Tell me a little bit about what purification brings to mind for you.
The age of innocence, pure thought, pure love, pure energy, just the pureness, your authentic self.
Okay, that is your message for this week, purification. Hold on to that card. We'll come back to it at the end of the show. My card today, I haven't picked this card in a long time. My card is tenderness. Very interesting for me. Where do I need to be tender in my life? Do I need to be tender to someone outside of me? Or do I need to turn it around and be tender to myself? I'm thinking that since I was grateful that I'm going out to serve people in the world, that I already have tenderness toward others. So maybe my message this week is that I need to be flexible with myself, be more understanding with myself, and be tender to my and tend my own needs. So I think that that's what mine means today.
I can agree. That sounds wonderful.
You can relate to that?
I can relate to that.
All right, I'm going to put mine aside. And if you ever want to get angel message cards, listeners, there is a website called starmagic.com, and you can go on there and you can get your little angel cards. Now for the power thought cards, these were put together by Louise L. Hay. She is a self-help guru. She has a publishing company called Hay House Publishing at hayhouse.com, and she publishes books, angel cards, videos, audio programs that are inspirational and life-changing. So that's where I got these cards. So I'm going to shuffle them, and then I will have Todd pick his. They're very colorful, these cards. I like them because they're very artsy. On one side, there's a short phrase, and on the other side, there's several sentences. So what we'll do is we'll read the short phrase first, and then we'll read the sentences. So Todd, read your affirmation short phrase.
My work is deeply fulfilling.
And your affirmation visualization on the other side.
Today I give my best to that which I do, knowing that when one's experience is complete, I am led to even more fulfilling and rewarding experiences.
That is one of my very favorite messages in this deck of cards, to know that your work can be fulfilling. Whatever it is that you're doing is pretty spectacular. What does that card mean to you?
You give your all. You know, you've been pure with thought, pure with intentions, and pure motives. It's going to lead you to nothing but greatness. There's no stopping you.
How do you feel about your work? What is your work? Some people look at their work as career. Some people look at their work as their vocation or their volunteering. And some people look at it as the work that they're doing inside. What is your work?
At this stage of my life, I'm enjoying me. I'm understanding my presence. I'm understanding me, and I'm getting to know me on this path, this journey. It's just the season whereby I'm really beginning to understand Todd as a person, what makes Todd tick, what makes Todd smile, what makes Todd sad. So those experiences are fulfilling and rewarding to me at this present moment in my life.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And one of the great things about the radio is that we get to share a lot about ourselves. We don't have to open ourselves up fully, completely. Of course, you have to protect the most soft inner core of your soul. But expressing yourself to let listeners know what is going on with you and who you are is very valuable. And I appreciate you letting the listeners know that you are willing to look at who you are and what you're doing with your life, and that you are taking care of what you need.
Taking care of business.
Taking care of business. Well, let's see what my power message is today. Oh, this is a good one, you guys. My power thought card is, I accept my uniqueness. It's a little bit hard for me to read that. I accept my uniqueness because I bristle like, oh, I don't want to be a bragger, and I don't want to say, oh, I'm special and I'm the only one. So for me, it isn't that. It's that among the many, among the millions, I am one of those and I am unique simultaneously. So I can be one of many and unique at the same time. So I look at it that way, and I'll read the visualization. The visualization says, there is no competition and no comparison, for we are all different and meant to be that way. I am special and wonderful. I love myself. What I like about this card is that it's bright orange in color with some lighter orange and darker orange in a fade, and it has the graphic of an eye looking in. So it's looking in at myself and looking out at others and noticing that, wow, there is no, how could that be that there might be no competition? Wouldn't that be interesting if there was no competition? And I remember as a child, I used to play the game Yahtzee with the dice, and you'd be in a group playing, and you know, everyone would be playing, and of course you'd be competing with each other, but really you just want to get the best score that you can get for yourself. And I look at it that way. I just want to do the best that I can with my skills and myself. So I love this card. I accept my uniqueness. Nicely done.
Well, thank you for my power boost for the day.
Yeah, that's what it is. These things are meant to get us outside of our own thinking, because we're all so busy with work and, you know, get this done and go to this place and, you know, drive fast and answer that phone call. And it's like, wait a minute, let the universe remind me of what's good about me and other people. And the angel messages and power thought cards do that for me.
Very inspirational.
Do you have a spiritual practice that you do that might remind you of what's good about yourself and other people? Do you pray? Do you pull power thought cards? What's your thing?
First and foremost, I'm always praying.
You're always praying.
I'm always giving reverence and thanks for the grace and just being able to function as a human, because being human is very complex.
It is complex.
And there are over 7 billion of us.
Right.
And no one is alike in any shape, form, or fashion. There's 7 billion different people.
Right.
And it all starts within oneself.
Do you pray out loud, or are you in your head? How does that work?
There are times when it's safe for me, what I mean by safe, for lack of better expression, when no one else would take offense to it. You know, so you have to be have some intelligence about your surroundings, because, you know, we're living in a very complex generation where everyone's choosing what they believe. So I have to keep mine to myself when I'm by myself. And then when I'm around others of like mind, I'm able to express it even more. So you may find me just meditating, reading a good book, or just watching the leaves blow in the wind. So that would be a form of meditation for me, because I know that is life in motion.
You seem to be a person that can focus. Would you say that that's true?
Yes, that's very true.
I often get busy in the world and I forget to focus, and I need to come down from it. And I think that that's why I start every show with just closing my eyes and taking a breath.
Yes.
Prior to the show, when Todd and I were doing our practice session, I had said, hey, okay, let's do a little practice session, and we're going to do these few exercises, and I'm going to have you do this, and I'm going to do that. And Todd goes, okay, great. And as soon as the word great came out of his mouth, he sat back in the chair, his shoulders relaxed, and he closed his eyes and he took in a breath. And he kept his eyes closed for a good minute. I was so impressed. I'm like, I love this man. It was great. And for me, that is just that moment of centering. You come back to yourself. You get your feet on the ground.
Yes, that was the word I was going to use, centering. And I find that works best for me when I'm really passionate about what I'm doing. So I want to take my time, understand the process, and just reload and, you know, get that power boost again, just centering myself and staying focused. It's a pleasant journey.
Well, I'm really enjoying having you here in the studio with me, and I'm looking forward to the rest of our time together here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. This is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. You are listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. I'm here in the studio today with my fellow DJ, Todd McCleary.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, fantastic. We had a lot of fun with our angel message and our power thought card. My angel message was tenderness, and my power thought card was I accept my uniqueness. And Todd, what was your angel message and power thought card?
My angels focus on purification. My power is, my work is deeply fulfilling. My work is deeply fulfilling.
I like it. Well, for those of you out there that have been on the show with me before, our next segment is Tell Me Everything, 2-Minute Talks. So I have my little timers here. They're in my little heart-shaped bucket.
Cute,
I know. I'm just, hey, I never make any bones about it. My show is frou-frou. I'm all happy, I'm light. I need happy and light in my life.
Yeah, you're a centered.
Okay, so we're gonna actually do 2-minute talks. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that you could talk for a full 2 minutes without any dead air space?
I don't think so. As much as I love to talk, I don't think I could do it with dead space.
Okay, so do you think you could do 1 minute?
Let's try.
Okay.
Let's try.
All right, so I'm gonna put 1 minute on the timer. And I think what I'll do is let's think of a topic that each of us will take a minute on. So can you think of a topic off the top of your head that we could just talk for a minute on? It could be any random topic. Any random topic.
Men and crying.
Men and crying. OMG. We're going to need way more than 1 minute. We might have to do 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Okay, keep going. All right. Would you like to go first?
The ladies first.
Oh, my goodness. Men and crying. Okay. I'm going to press the button. Here we go. 1 minute on men and crying. Men should be able to cry. Men need to cry. Crying is good. I want all young boys in the world to know that crying is a natural way to express yourself and to heal from hurts. And if anyone says to you, boys don't cry, that is a fallacy. And we have been trained, all of us have been trained to not allow boys or men to cry. I feel very strongly that boys and men need to be able to cry. They also need to be able to laugh and to shake and yawn, and they need to be able to express their anger and their joy and be free to have all of their emotions. So anytime I meet a man or a boy, I always want to make sure that I give them plenty of emotional space in case they need to cry. There's my 1 minute on men and crying. Your turn, Todd. Go.
There's no shame in crying, man. You ever heard of the old expression? It's a crying shame. Man, take it from me. It is okay to cry. If it wasn't okay, the good man upstairs would not have ventured out and gave you the process to cry, the tear ducts, the tears. You wonder why they're there, man. They're there for a reason. It's okay to cry. I call it rain face showers. It's okay to have a face shower from time to time. Because what you're doing, you're releasing all the stress, all the tension, all the pain, which can be built up in your muscles. And you wonder why your back is hurting. You wonder why you have a headache. Let it all go freely. And you will understand that crying is that avenue, that conduit to happiness. There's nothing wrong with showing a few emotional feelings. There they are, gentlemen. They are there for a reason. So happy cry.
All right, crying. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do another minute on crying. So, crying. I had a stepfather years ago who was a gentle, wonderful soul of a man. His name was Bill. And he cried. And I loved that about him. He was able to express himself. And I remember when he and my mom split up, all the arguments and fights they were in, it made me really sad. But when we went to meet him at a meeting place to say hi after they had split up, when we saw each other, we both cried. And he came running up to me and hugged me. And he was just my stepfather, and we just loved each other so much. And when he cried, I just felt like the world opened up, and you could just see the both the sadness and the relief that were happening for him at the same time when he cried. All right, you ready for your next minute?
I'm ready.
Go.
I can recall recently having my first face shower. I mean, whereby I was bawling. Tears were flowing effortlessly. I did not understand the process in which I was experiencing. Why am I crying? It's a beautiful day. The birds are chirping. There's nothing wrong. But there wasn't anything wrong. But what I needed was that flushing. I needed it to be rejuvenated, to be able to laugh again. You know, there's a song that's going in my mind as a loop right now. I want to go outside in the rain so I can cry. Here I was crying on a beautiful, sunny California day. And with further research and going deeper, I understood what I was doing. I hadn't cried for 10 years. I may have cried for misfortune. Someone met their demise, or someone was in the hospital, but those superficial. But then again, when you get down to the emotions, like, whoa, I haven't done this in a while. This feels therapeutic. I have to do this again.
Crying, men and crying. We have spent something like 4 to 6 minutes talking about men and crying.
We have.
Good topic.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, we're going to high five, everyone. Boom.
High five.
Great. Thank you. Let's think of another topic to talk about. I like the men and crying topic because it is such a taboo topic, right?
Yes.
What, maybe if you're willing, let's do a minute, a minute, a minute, a minute on what your first memory is with your crying. And then I'll do my first memories of my memories, just in crying in general. Let's just do first memories and crying in general. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
My first memory of crying, I think I was 8 years old, and I had this Lassie type of collie dog. I mean, same color, same everything. Say goodnight to Lassie because I lived in the rural Midwest, and the dog slept under the porch. But each morning I come up, Smokey come running out. I remember when I was on school break, it was summer. Smokey. Smokey didn't come out. I'm fishing for Smokey with a stick. Smokey's not out. This is something's wrong. Where's Smokey? I grab my oldest brother and my dad. Where's Smokey? So my brother goes in and he says, oh my God, Smokey. So they pulled me to the side. My dad was able to go under the porch and get Smokey. Smokey had been poisoned. Smokey's dead. And I cried for a very long time. No one replaced Smokey. I never had a pet since Smokey. Smokey was my world.
Wow. Thank you. It is so valuable to be able to express yourself and share who you are. I thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
All right, I'll go with my first memory of crying. Okay, why don't you press the button for me? My earliest memory of crying, I'd have to think long and hard because I really can't recall my first big cry. But my first thought when someone asks me about your first cry is that anyone who knows me would say, DJ Noni, you cry at the drop of a hat. And I could feel some tears coming up when you were sharing about your experience. So my emotions are always up there. And so I cry very easily. So as a child, I would cry. And as a teenager, I would cry. And as a young adult, I would cry. And as an adult, I cried and cried. But when I went into the professional world, it was taboo to cry. And I've had to really work on that.
It is a process, isn't it?
It is a process. All right, you go. Talk more about you, some story of you crying, and then I'll come back to me. Ready? Go.
Recently, over the holidays, I was missing my dear mom. It's been over 23 years since I've last held a conversation with my mother. And she died in November of 88, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. I was 23 years old. And this year, on that date, later that night, I understood why I was bawling like I was bawling. I was grieving for my mother, who wasn't with us, no longer with us. And it was 23 years to that day that I literally cried. And, you know, to know they have the assurance that she's still there in spirit, watching over me, we still have that connection. It was a wonderful experience just to refill that again, to know that my mother's presence was present with me, and I was present enough to understand the power of now. It's what I needed. You know, I was going through a few years, well, Thanksgiving, my mother's not here, but this year is like, my mother's not here. Boo, 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 boo.
Crying is very cathartic. I'll go. So I'll continue that thought process on how when I became a professional woman, that crying was taboo. I remember when Geraldine Ferraro was a vice presidential candidate, and during one of her public appearances, she cried, and she got so much flack for crying. It made me so angry, and I was so upset. She was just doing what was natural. It's stressful. The world is stressful. We need that outlet. So not only are men told that they can't cry, but professional women are not allowed to cry because then they're seen as weak. And crying is seen as weakness. And I completely and absolutely disagree with that. And I think that you can really be stronger if you allow yourself to cry. So that's my thing on crying. Yeah. Thank you. I have a great coach here in the studio with me. I really love working with you, Todd. He's given me hand signals for the timing, and you're really inspiring me to think of these great topics and great things to talk about.
My pleasure.
What a delight.
Made me feel right at home. He said, hey, this is how we do it.
This is how we do it. It's your studio. It's our studio. It's our. We have the ability to speak with our listeners. We can speak the truth, and we can speak our opinions, and we can speak what we think. We can form our thinking. Sometimes our thinking isn't fully formed, but here we are on the radio throwing a thought out here and there, and we might even reformulate are thinking just by talking about a lot of different things. So I'm glad you're here with me.
It's an amazing experience.
Good. Well, why don't we take a little bit of a rest break, let the listeners get a glass of water, and I'll throw on some music, and we'll be back. So this is Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. This is radio.dominican.edu, and this is Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. I'm here in the studio with my fellow DJ, Todd.
Mr. Todd.
Yeah, Mr. Todd, Todd McCleary. Hey, Todd, remind the listeners about your show, when it is, and what it's going to be about.
Well, it's men-based themes, but everyone is invited to listen in and offer some opinions or some thoughts. It's a man's world. Men touring their world. See what we've orchestrated in the world, why we are the way that we are, why we communicate the way we communicate, how we interact with one another, and how we should be taking care of our bodies and our minds.
You know, I think it is a wonderful place to have an outlet for men to listen to things that are important to them and for you to provide information for men. It's a fast-paced world out there, and as we were talking earlier, men are often repressed in their emotions and their expression of their anger or their needs or their joy. And to have an outlet like your show is going to be really wonderful.
It does wonders.
Yeah. Well, why don't we continue with our two-minute talks? We were doing 1 minute back and forth, and I think that we can go up to 2 minutes now, just based on our time before. So, all right, so 2 minutes. And I think that the topic this time, I'm going to pick the topic, men and war. Okay? So men and war. You go first. Go.
Men and war. Very interesting. It's cool to know what type of war we're talking about. War within ourselves, the civil war that's going on with the emotions and trying to fit into the outside world. So that's very ambiguous. Men and war. Conquering other nations. Smaller countries, or just men in general, just conquering females at war. So what are we talking about? So let me see if I could just talk about some, you know, since I a man-based subject, so I'm going to just say war within oneself, the low self-esteem, the childhood hurts of, you know, the playground bully was really bothering you. There was a gang of guys, but you didn't fit in. So at war with oneself. So you understand the art of war. There's so much to the word war, which means aggression, negativity. But there's a positive side to it. It could be life preparing you, getting you on your warrior's path. You know, I think in some traditional upbringings is that some men, such as in Jewish faith, they go through the bar mitzvah. I think within the Native Americans, they kick you out of the tribe for at least 24 hours where some elder is somewhere nearby, but you have to make it in the wilderness by yourself. So that's a war in itself, warring against the elements, warring against the mind, warring against the ideology of what a man's supposed to be. We do not supposed to cry. We can't show any fear, no sadness, No grief, no pain. So this man, male, if they can't express the positive sides, there has to be something coming out. But there is another side to that coin, that you can war, you can conquer yourself. I think there's a philosopher, I can't recall his name, it's so recent. He said, it's an intelligent person is someone who knows people. But then again, the wise man who knows himself.
Wow. Go. Men and war. All right, lay it on me. Lay that timer on me. Men and war. I believe that it is okay for men not to want to fight. If a man does not want to go to war, it's okay. And while we need to defend ourselves, I believe that it isn't fair to push men into the fighting realm without their permission. I personally believe that we stereotype males far too early with their war gear and war guns and war clothing and fatigues and their war toys and their war video games. When we know that we are having a boy or a girl, we're stereotyping each of them. Boys are blue and girls are pink. When in fact, they're, you know, girls and boys have similarities and differences, but we don't have to always peg young men as violent and push them into war. I would like men to be able to stand up for themselves and be really strong, but I believe that physical violence is not necessary, and I don't want men forced into that position. There was the 1 billion rising event yesterday against violence against women. I also believe that we should stop violence against men, because men are just as valuable as a resource. So, war in men, let's stop it all. That's what I believe. There you go. That's my 2 minutes on men and war.
There you have it.
Oh, wow. You got me going. You got me going. Hey, why don't we just do, now let's just do 2 minutes on war in general. Okay.
War in general.
Anything. It could be anything. Here you go. Ready? Beep.
Man, that's interesting. I was just watching some history last night. The secret wars, secret weapons of war. It was showing how the scientists was for years formulating ways to make this ultimate fighting machine, which was a tank that can go into water to get up on the beach. And they went through the processes of sneaking spies in to Germany on their beaches to get sand samples. So once he got the sand samples, he was able to reduplicate the sand and then create this device that can either be in the water, and once they hit the beach, it transformed into something else. It was amazing. They had special bullets for blowing down the compound walls. They knew about all the mines. There was a lot of science and technology there. Could you imagine using your God-given ability to think and to reason in positive aspects? How do we create? How do we create something that fight cancer or dementia or just retardation? I don't know if that's PC or not, but you know, autism. If we can use our mind for destructive things, think what would happen to mankind if we use it for positive and constructive things in life. Man, that's how we would be as a man, mankind. So war, it takes a lot of thought to really, and all the narcissism as well, that you can be so cold in your heart to say, it's just another person, I have to do this. But no, actually, that is another human being who has loved ones, friends, daughters, sons. And they're not going to be able to experience that individual anymore because we're at war for some unknown reason. We're at war with one another. And we're in a sad state, but I think over time, we're going to be able to get it all together. We're going to make love instead of war.
You are just on it. Thank you so much. All right, I get my last 2 minutes on war in general. Here I go. War. What are we fighting for? I don't have a singing voice. I remember writing in my journal in the early 90s about war and how war was affecting me. I've never been in a war-torn country. Well, I've never been in a place where war was going on right then near me. However, I have been affected by war. Across my lifetime, I was affected by the Vietnam War because as a child growing up in San Francisco, I witnessed many of the homeless Vietnam vets that were wandering aimlessly in the streets of the Tenderloin and across San Francisco who didn't have the capacity, the emotional, physical, and spiritual capacity to get back on the planet after they came back from Vietnam. So I saw that as a child, and there was one vision from my childhood that was incredibly vivid for me, and it was a war veteran. I'm sure it was a war veteran who was incredibly upset and freaked out and just didn't know what to do with himself, and he was committing suicide and slitting his wrists in Union Square, and they came with a straitjacket, and they were putting the straitjacket on him and trying to get him in the ambulance. So I was something like 6 years old. So war affects me. It has affected me. And, you know, the Iraq War and Iran and Afghanistan now. And then, of course, 9/11, that to me, even as terrorism, it's war. And Somalia and all of the places across the planet, it's hard for me. It's incredibly difficult for me. So I would like us to change our thinking about war and build houses, not break them down. That's my feeling about war.
Well, thank you for sharing. That was heartwarming. That's experience at the age of 6. It goes to show how long that can stay imprinted in someone's memory bank. That is dynamic.
And that informs me. That experience informs what I do in my life. And it happened to be a man who was, he was hurting. There was some pain, a war within himself. You were saying that earlier, the war that he had been fighting, you know, there was some pain that he couldn't get through. And this may sound incredibly simplistic, but perhaps if he had a lifetime of being allowed to cry and being allowed to express himself and being supported, perhaps he wouldn't have come to that end. And his emotional life may have been made easier. And I know that that sounds possibly very, very simplistic, but I think that it's all tied together, these little bits of things, allowing men and women, of course, and children to express themselves through crying, laughing, shaking, you know, expressing their anger. If you're not holding it in, you're operating better on the planet. And I really feel like if that man had more support and more opportunities, perhaps he might not have made the choices that he did. I don't know how you feel about that.
To me, it seems as though he was really living the myth of death before dishonor, because you're dishonoring yourself if you can't be a full man mentally, emotionally, financially to produce in society. That's like a dishonor to your friends, to your family. So he would rather have died than to exist the way that he was existing. But like you said, perhaps 10, 15 years earlier, if someone would pull to the side, it's okay to cry, Timmy. There's nothing wrong with tears, Timmy. Nothing wrong with using your words, Timmy. There's nothing wrong with saying that I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. Help me, please.
Can you imagine what the world would be like if we were all allowed to say, I don't know what I'm doing?
It would be a better place.
I agree it would be a better place. And it doesn't mean that we don't know what we're doing. It just means that we feel like we don't know what we're doing. And in the moment of expressing that we don't know what we're doing, we actually do know. What we are doing is not knowing.
Not knowing. We have an idea of how everything works. We have the clocks, we have the timers, we have the air traffic controllers, we have the stoplights, everything sequenced, and how life just flows in and out. So to communicate, how are you feeling today? Well, I'm not having such of a good day, but I think with positive affirmations and angels sending me power boosts, I'm going to be okay today. Thank you for asking.
What a wonderful way to look at it. And if anyone out there is listening, you can hear this message that you have two people on your side. You have Todd and DJ Noni saying, hey, you belong on the planet. You have the ability to express yourself, and we want you to express yourself. And we are here to remind you. We are a voice that you are hearing, that you can find your own voice so that you know who you are and you are loved.
Yes. Like a question someone asked me a few months ago, said, what's wrong with that person? They're being human. That's what my answer was. They are experiencing what it is to be human.
What was that person doing when they said, what's wrong with that person?
Crying, hysterical, you know, almost wailing, you know. It just, they had a moment where they had to express themselves the best way they knew at that time. What is wrong with that individual? They're being human.
They're being human.
They're expressing themselves.
Express yourself. Hey, everyone, let's take a little bit of a music break. This is radio.dominican.edu and Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. You're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, and this is radio.dominican.edu. I'm in the studio today with my fellow DJ,
Mr. Todd.
And we just had our two-minute talks, and we were talking about men and war, and then war in general. And Todd and I both agree that love is the answer, and men being able to express themselves is a good thing.
I totally agree.
Now, later on in the show, we're going to do a segment. There's a couple more segments. We're going to do a little news in a few moments. Then we're going to do something called random readings, where we just pick things out of the newspaper and read them. But then I've got a new part of the show called Think Tank, and it's opinions, like an editorial opinion. And we'll read a little newspaper article, and then we'll give our opinion. And hopefully, we'll find something to disagree on. So my challenge to you, Todd, is that you and I find something to disagree on. So figuring out a way that we can agree to disagree and maybe have a little bit of an argument. That's hard for me.
A healthy debate?
A healthy debate. Yeah, a healthy debate. I struggle with that. So it'll be good for you and I to experiment. What do you think? Are you up for that?
I'm looking forward to
it. Okay, great.
A healthy debate.
A healthy debate. All right, well, let's do a few PSAs. A PSA is a public service announcement. And I am going to give Todd this 60-seconder here. So just go ahead and read that to our listeners.
Will you be when emergency strikes your home, business, or child school? Will you be near a landline? You may not. Or like many, you no longer have a landline, but nearly all of us have a cell phone. And it's right by your side. If you live, work, or go to school in Marin County and are 18 and over, you can now register for your cell phone or VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol phone, to get emergency alerts by text, voice, and email. Go to the altermainmarin.org. If you have a landline number, it's in our system. Your cell phone number is not. Emergency alerts are made in situations where property or human life is in danger and are made to precise neighborhood or geographic areas affected. You might register your cell phone or VOIP phone to get emergency alerts by text, voice, and email. Don't take chances with your safety or loved one's safety. Sponsored by Marin County Sheriff's Office of Emergency Services.
Thank you so very much for that public service announcement. Our next announcement is from the Dominican University of California. Madeleine Albright, the first female U.S. Secretary of State, will be speaking at Dominican's Angelico Hall this coming Thursday, February 21st, in the Leadership Lecture Series. For more information or to purchase tickets, you can go to www.dominican.edu/Dominican News. You can find the ticket purchasing link there. That's Madeleine Albright, February 21st, right here at Dominican University's Angelico Hall. Well, as part of the news, I always like to talk about the weather. The weather today is beautiful. It's a sunny 66. Right here in central San Rafael. And in addition to the weather, I also like to talk about the moon phase. What is the moon doing right now? And on Friday, the 15th of February, the moon is in the waxing crescent phase. And waxing means it's going toward the full moon. So we are heading toward a full moon, and that actual full moon is going to be, it looks like, on the 25th, so we've got about 10 days. So right now we're waxing crescent. Well, earlier today on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, we had our fabulous Penguin Press Pass, real students, real news. And I actually have some news pieces from that episode. And I thought what we would do is just run over a couple of them. So let me get the first one out here. This was DJ Spin's news piece, and she talked about the Carnival Triumph cruise ship. And this is what she had to say. The Carnival Triumph cruise ship finally docked this morning in Mobile, Alabama, after an engine fire left the ship stranded without power for 5 days. Passengers had to endure terrible conditions, sewage on the floor up to their ankles, poor sanitation, no access to toilets. Yuck. Carnival, which operates the ship, was also the owner of the Costa Concordia, the same ship that sank last year off the Italian coast, killing 32 people. Fortunately, all 3,200 passengers safely disembarked from the ship this morning. And the next story that she had was about the 10-ton bus-sized meteor that crashed into Chelyabinsk, I don't know how to pronounce this, my apologies, Russia, this morning at a speed of 30,000 miles per hour. Thousands were terrified as they witnessed the meteor hit with its blinding light and powerful sonic boom, which shattered windows and damaged buildings. Approximately 1,000 people have been reported injured, but only 3 people were injured seriously enough to be hospitalized. According to the independent Rosbalt news agency, Russia's military had knowledge that the meteor would strike several days in advance, but failed to issue a public warning. Those are some of the news stories that you heard on Penguin Press Pass, Real Students, Real News. You can find that podcast here on radio.dominican.edu. We'll get that podcasted by the end of today. And that's our news for the moment. We're going to take a little bit of a music break, and we'll be back in a few moments. This is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni.
You know, she comes around just about 5'4" from her head to the ground. You know, she comes around here just about midnight. She make her feel so good, love. She make her feel all right.
This is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. I'm in the studio with my fellow DJ,
Mr. Todd.
Hey, Todd. Hey, you know, we just had another DJ join us, and that is
DJ Aquarius.
Fantastic. Hey, DJ Aquarius, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm just glad to be back with you all. Last week I had to leave early, and this today I'm coming in late.
Oh, so isn't that great? Yeah. So you made up for the difference.
I am, yes.
It's 2 hours total, but in a different...
It has to balance out.
Now, you have actually been in the studio for over an hour. What were you just doing a few minutes ago?
I was recording a, what do you call it again?
That's called a preview.
A preview. I was recording a preview with DJ Showtime, who is my partner in the class, and he was helping me record that. And so we had a little Billy Idol mixing in with my with my preview.
Oh, that sounds so fun. We could hear you. We had the door closed so that you guys could have your recording time. And we could, I could hear you through my other ear. And it sounded like you guys were having a great time.
We were. It was awesome. Just, yeah, we we were having ourselves a good old time on a
Fantastic.
Friday afternoon. Yeah.
Give us a preview of what your preview sounded like.
Okay, so this is a little bit of improv here, but this is kind of like what it sounded like. It was like, hey, everybody, this is DJ Aquarius, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about my show. It's going to be on every Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m., and it's a show about hot topics, entertainment, and pop culture. So please join me, DJ Aquarius, here at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you. And that's what it sounded like.
That is great. So pro.
Thank you. Well, you've been training me, so.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll take that compliment.
Yes.
Well, I'm just really, really thrilled with all of the DJs here and how interested and passionate you all are, and your skill level has just boosted and jumped up.
Yeah, well, coming here with you every Friday has really boosted my confidence.
And you know,
I'm shaky.
And I told you I welcome you as my guest host the whole semester. So please, and Todd, you're welcome to come guest host with me anytime.
All right, be careful now.
Yeah, that's careful. What I told her.
That's exactly what Aquarius said to me. Hey, the door is open. I would love to have the two of you on every week as guest hosts.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take you up on that.
I like
Aren't
it.
Aren't we, Todd?
Most definitely.
Hey, Todd, would you like to do some cold reads on the news? You want to tell us what you found?
I would be delighted to.
Okay, please do.
Something very passionate. We all know yesterday is a very traditional day.
Right, right.
Around the world. But a group of 125 ladies, and some men as well, gathered for Cold Pink. And what they did was danced across the Golden Gate Bridge on Valentine's Day in San Francisco, California. This event was held in support of $1 billion Rising campaign to end violence against women and girls all over the world. As seagulls soared, cameras rolled, and rangers looked on, a sea of powdered pink, hot pink, and flaming red clad dancers high step, whirled, and twirled across the Golden Gate Bridge on Valentine's Day, chanting, "Break the Chain." The group gathered Thursday morning for a dance across the bridge, sponsored by peace groups Cold Pink in support of $1 billion Rising campaign. The campaign since ends violence against women and girls internationally and was started by Eve Esner, author of Vagina Monologues. And she quote, "I'm here to support women all over the world to rise up like in significant times of violent fight violence," said Kathy Harris of Mill Valley, one of the dancers.
Thank you for that great report. We participated in that here in Dominican. We had a march, and they went down to San Rafael, and some people from the bridge came up, and they danced, and they had flash mobs, and then there was a teach-in.
In another $1 billion Rising event, students marched to the 4th Street Plaza in San Rafael. The university's Alonzo King Lions Ballet BFA students broke into a choreographed dance. They were giving unsuspecting onlookers a lunchtime performance to remember. The dance performance was followed by teach-in on the campus.
That was
so
great.
So Dominican did their part as well.
And we had our radio station there broadcasting it, DJ Showtime, who DJ Aquarius, you were working with today. He was there, and we've got it podcasted. So we have the teach-in podcasted at radio.dominican.edu if anyone wants to hear it.
Oh, very cool, very cool.
Yeah. It is now time for DJ Aquarius's very favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Uh-oh.
Wait till she hears what our next segment is. It's called Random Readings.
Oh, goody.
Your favorite thing. All right, so I'm going to hold this behind my back, and I'm going to see, which one do you want, right hand or left hand?
I'm right-handed, so I might go with
that. Okay, right-handed, and my left hand is that.
Oh, I got the one with Oprah on it. All right.
Okay, so clearly that came from Oprah Magazine. Tell us what the title of that article is, and then read the little bulleted items.
All right. So this article is called Bring It. And it says, we asked a survival expert what every woman should carry on a summer adventure, whether it's a hike up a peak or a picnic in a meadow. And apparently we need bug spray, tweezers, alcohol wipes, medical ID card, garbage bags, cotton balls covered with Vaseline.
Read why you would need cotton balls covered with Vaseline. What does it say in that?
It says petroleum jelly is another fire fuel. Ooh. Also useful for lubricating blisters. Interesting. Very true. And I did a lot of camping. So, yeah, that is very true. Quick clot sport. Interesting. It says that was first used by the U.S. military. This, I believe that says hemostic.
Oh, here, let me see.
Sponge. I'm not. When I get nervous, folks, I read poorly.
That's okay. Which one was it on the? Quick,
something about clots. And
oh, hemostatic.
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 That's quite the word.
We're such good partners on this radio station. Oh, we help each other.
We do work well together. Hemostatic sponge seals up wounds. Hemostatic. Okay. And star flash signal mirror. Every lady needs that. God knows what it is. Okay, it says use it to reflect sunlight as a distress sign. Instructions are printed on the back. And it's $9 at bestglide.com. And waterproof bandages. Okay, that makes sense. Benadryl capsules. That's very good if you have allergies. And I have a story for you folks about that a bit later.
Okay.
Benadryl and allergies in the mountains. Oh, goody. And a folding blade knife. That's always fun in case you want to gut a fish. And a sparky fire starter. That could be fun. An energy bar. Or you could just bring a Starbucks. jet stream whistle. Let's see. Blaze orange or fuchsia bandana and a few safety pins. And Aquamira.
You can also use them as a bandage.
Oh, okay. Okay. And Aquamira tablets.
What does it say about those?
It says, if you need to fill your drinking bottle with natural sources, drop in one tablet per liter to purify the water. Flip the bottle upside down and unscrew the cap just enough to soak in the rim, letting the chlorine dioxide kill germs where you put your lips. $15 outdoorready.com. It's $15 if you purchase it from outdoorready.com.
Great. There okay. What is your Benadryl and mountain story?
Well, I am severely allergic to nuts, all nuts, tree nuts, peanuts, pistachios, macadamia nuts, anything, you know. And so anyway, I was participating in a backpacking trip that was through the Lawrence Hall of Science in Berkeley. And I was one of the campers. It was a great trip. And anyway, they pre-make these little trail mix bags for the kids. You have something to snack on along the way. Mine was supposed to have an allergy alert on it, so nobody would put nuts in mine, because traditionally nuts go in trail mix. But some genius managed to put a Luna bar, or I think it was a Mojo bar, something like that had walnuts in it. And so anyway, I was starving and I was just did not want to wait for dinner. So I took out my nutrition bar and I was just eating away. And then lo and behold, I realized my tongue was swelling up and my eyes were puffing up, which is really bad because it's a deadly allergy. And the lady that was on the trip, one of our camp counselors, you always have a male and a female camp counselor. She was worried, and we were so far away from a ranger station, and the walkie talkies wouldn't work. So she couldn't signal for help. And so she was so worried. So she had me lay out flat on this rock, and she pumped me with like 10 Benadryl and just made me lay there, and I wasn't allowed to move for the whole night because she was trying to keep me from moving so that hopefully nothing sporadic would happen inside of my body so that I wouldn't drop dead on her. And so it was giving her enough time to try to contact a ranger station or something. So that's my story. And I still know her, actually. I talked to her yesterday through email, and I told her all about the radio program here and everything, and so she wants to start listening in, but she was my hero that day. Thanks, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. We're so glad that DJ Aquarius is here with us because you took quick good care of her.
Yes.
How did you recover the next morning? Did they take you to a hospital? Did the ranger come?
I was okay. Everything, the Benadryl kicked in, and it kept me from going into what's called anaphylactic shock, which is very deadly. but I was not so lucky a few years later when I accidentally ate a walnut, and I that was almost the end of me. And it happened on the same day that the Pope died. I know, right? So it just must have been a cursed day or something like that. Yeah.
And you went to the hospital on
I did, and I was in the hospital all night with giant needles going everywhere, and it was...
You know, the Pope just retired recently,
I don't know.
Be eating any nuts right now.
I won't. As a matter of fact, I'm just not going to eat at all. I'm fasting, folks.
That's a news item, by the way, everyone. Pope Benedict just retired, and that'll be an interesting little thing to talk about later.
He is the first Pope in 6 centuries to retire. Most of them just die with the job.
Off. Right, right. You just go the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a fascinating transition for the church.
Definitely. Now, your show is all about peace and being accepting yourself in the ways of life. Do you think that's good that he retired, or do you think that he should have accepted his duty and passed with the job? Or do you think that that's good that he was able to admit that he's no longer right for the job? I mean, do you think he should feel comfortable with that decision, or do you think he should feel like he just totally screwed up a long-standing tradition?
I love that question, and I think that's a great question. And what I would like to do, listeners, is take that question and put it in my pocket.
Uh-oh.
Because we have a segment coming up called Think Tank. Editorial opinions. And I think what we'll do is we'll throw that question out, and then each of us will answer it.
Oh, very
and
cool.
And we'll take time to answer it. So keep that one on your mind. Let's keep that. I love it. Awesome. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. You're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, and this is radio.dominican.edu. We do have a random reading coming up from Todd. Yay. So lay it on us.
Well, here's my random reading of the day: The Art of Appreciation. Why and how you should encourage your kids to embrace the thank you note and cultivate an attitude of gratitude along the way. Writing thank you notes. Key things to do. Set a time for it. Gather your resources. Be the designated writer. So in other words, get involved. Help your child to create a healthy thank you note. And also, teach them sincerity. It's best to do it now than to wait later. We're not promised tomorrow. And they list 13 clever ways to say thank you. For birthday gifts, holiday gifts, and no reason at all. Number one, let your child make the joy of the gift. We're just going to go through some. Number five grabs my attention. Make a list of the top 10 reasons why the gift is so awesome. Make a list of the top 10 reasons why your gift is so awesome. Let them express themselves. Remember, what you think is not good may just be just as well for the other person. So let them explore their creative minds. Number six, write thank you in crayon. Then have your child paint over it using watercolors. The paint won't adhere to the crayon, so the messes will show up. That's just some of the ways to really help embrace your child with the art of appreciation. Be appreciative of everything. And I appreciate the fact that I'm given the opportunity to speak to the Radio Land during your 2-hour segment. So thank you. Here's my handprint, a high five.
Aww. High five. There you go. That's one other way to express appreciation is give a high five. Thank you very much, Todd.
It's a pretty universal one.
I think so. And what a perfect topic for you, the art of appreciation. I think that you're probably very good at it regularly.
I'm totally appreciative of everything in life.
And that's what we start our show out with here at Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. Every show I start with gratefulness. So it's an appreciation for life and what we have.
Can I say something really awesome about DJ Todd
right
now?
Completely.
I was just talking to him earlier, and he was saying that he actually likes his voice, and that's partly why he's so drawn to doing radio. And I think that's so cool, because not many people have that kind of confidence about their own voice, because usually when you hear your own voice back, you're just kind of like, oh my God, what a monstrosity. And the fact that he actually likes his own voice is very cool, and it's kind of making me want to appreciate my own voice more. So I think that's very cool that you appreciate your voice and you appreciate yourself. It's a true sign of liking yourself. So I appreciate that about you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm embracing myself.
Yay. That's what the show's all about. That's so cool.
Great.
Express yourself. Find your voice. Find it from within. Find it to speak out. You guys are just making my goals and dreams come true by being here and expressing yourselves. I thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, thank you. 1, 2, 3, thank you.
He's on down the road. Don't you carry nothing that might be a load. Ease on down the road.
Here's my random reading. This is from something called Sticky Faith, and it was posted by Brad M. Griffin at stickyfaith.org. The title is Top 10 Ways Teenagers Want You to Connect with Them. Here's what they say. Often when we share about sticky faith with groups, leaders catch on quickly to the vision for increasing intergenerational connections in their groups. Sometimes we hear back from them, I tried sharing my vision, but adults have no idea how to connect with young people. How do I teach them? What a great question. So here are some ways that you can connect with teenagers. There are 10 ways. And these the questions were actually asked of teens. So when I read them, it's as if a teen is saying it. Number 10, we'll count back from 10 to 1. Number 10, challenge us. Now, I have to just comment on that one because I was speaking to someone who I really adore earlier today in one of my classes, and I looked her right in the eye and I said, I need you to know that I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask you to step up, and it's because I really believe in your qualities to do something well.
Yeah.
And so it really challenge us. Number 9, ask us to help you. I think that's very valuable, asking a teen for their help. They are capable. Number 8, laugh with us. And in parentheses, they write, and at yourself. Very valuable to be able to laugh at yourself. Number 7, show that you're interested. There are many ways to do that. Giving attention and really showing that you're interested is valuable. Number 6, relax. Todd and I were talking about this earlier. It's a fast-paced world. We're go, go, go. And you know, sometimes we just need to take it down a notch. And so teenagers are asking us adults to relax. Number 5 goes right into what Todd was talking about, the art of appreciation. Number 5 is show appreciation for what we do. Number 4, this is a great one, be dependable. Wouldn't you all think that at all times that adults are always dependable, they're always on time? Sometimes adults are not dependable. So if you really want teens to trust you, be dependable. Do, if you say something, do it. If you make a commitment, keep it. All right, number 3. This one's one of my favorites. It's listen. A way to connect with the teenagers to actually listen. Number 2, spend time talking with us. Shooting the breeze. What's happening? What's going on? And number 1, this is my all-time favorite one. I'm glad it's number 1. Look at us. And that is when you look at a person in their eyes and you really connect with them, you get to meet their soul. And if you're able to do that with a teen and really look at them and recognize them for who they are, you will connect with them. So there it is, the top 10 ways teenagers want you to connect with them. Challenge, ask for help, laugh at, with us and at yourself. Show that you're interested, relax, show appreciation, be dependable, listen, spend time talking, and look at us. Those are our random readings here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. We're going to take a little bit of a music break, and we'll be right back on radio.dominican.edu. Hey, hey, this is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Find Your Voice with DJ Noni. I'm here in the studio with a guest that has just joined us.
DJ Aquarius.
And my guest that has been here the whole show.
Mr. Todd.
So great to have the two of you here. DJ Aquarius, thank you so much for joining us at the top of the hour. It was really wonderful to hear you in Showtime having a great time recording your preview. Tell us a little bit more about your show, DJ Aquarius.
Well, my show is called Just Sayin', and it's on every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. And it's a show about hot topics. Last week we discussed the Grammys. I gave my opinion on things that I was happy about with the Grammys, things that I was not so happy about. And it's me just giving my opinion on entertainment and entertainers and hot topic issues such as the Pope. And so that's pretty much what my show is. So I thank all of those who tune in and who will be tuning in.
I listened to your show the other day and it was just wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I sent you a couple of AOL instant
I
messages.
Got those,
oh,
yeah.
Good. Great. Good, good. Oh, I'm glad it worked.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listeners, before when we were doing our random readings, DJ Aquarius brought up a topic about the Pope. Well, we were talking about the Pope retiring, and then you brought up some questions. You wanted to know my opinion about the Pope retiring. Why don't you ask those questions again? And I think what we'll do is we'll do some timed talking.
Okay.
I like doing it. I like doing it that way, and it's a great exercise for us on the radio, and listeners, you get to hear our process. So you go ahead and bring it up, and then Todd and I will answer, and then you'll also give your opinion, if that's all right.
Oh, fair enough.
And by the way, everyone, if you hear newspapers rustling in the background, that's just us looking through for our next segment. We're going to do Think Tank after this little warm-up exercise with the Pope. So go for it, Aquarius.
All right. Now, DJ Noni, correct me if I'm wrong, but because I know this is your show, but maybe it would be nice at some point if even people that are listening would call in and give their opinion when we're doing this at times. Do you think that would be cool?
You know, DJ Aquarius, while you're laying out the question, what I will do is I will get my Facebook page up, Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on Facebook. And if any of the listeners want to write a Facebook message, they can do that. That would be great.
Awesome. Very cool. We love participation here, folks. Okay, awesome. So my question was, because this show is all about peace and being at peace with yourself and accepting, I think, your decisions and accepting your path in life, was it okay that the Pope retired? I mean, let's keep in mind, folks, that this is the first Pope to retire in 6 centuries. The duty pretty much entails that you die with the job. So as soon as you are ordained Pope, you stay Pope until you pass. And every Pope has remained true to that for 6 centuries. And I just wonder if it's, you know, is that okay that he just retired? I mean, on one hand, here on the show, we always talk about just sort of taking, you know, being comfortable with the path that you're going to take in life. But are there certain jobs that just come with a certain amount of responsibility and you're not supposed to be lax about it and lackadaisical and just say, oh, you know, I'm just going to float off on this path? You know, should he have been more loyal to the job? Or is it good that he was just able to accept that he was older and not as able to manage the job? And should we as the public accept that of him? Or should we demand certain things out of our political and religious leaders and say, no, this is the job you chose, you stuck to it? Or should we be more accepting and forgiving and understand that this is an older man that probably needs a break? So
that's a tall order. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie myself. So I'm going to just give myself 2 minutes. I'm not a big facts and figures gal, so I don't know all of the details and all the rules, but I agree with you that there are certain responsibilities that the Pope signed up for. What I know about the papacy is that when they sign up, it's for their lifetime. So they knew that he knew that it was for his lifetime. We're having a lot of issues around marriage right now in the world. And when a person gets married in the church, it's forever. And you make your vows forever until death do us part. And here's a Pope departing before death. In a church, the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church has big feelings and opinions and rules on who gets married, when they're married, and for years and years and years, no divorce. You know, there was no divorce in the Catholic Church. But now he can quit.
That's right.
I'm dicey about it. My first thinking is hypocrite. The church says, if you get married, it's forever. No divorce till death do us part. And then when you sign up to be Pope, it's I'm committed till death do I part. And now he's retiring. That says hypocrite to me. On the other hand, fascinating change. Maybe the church is changing. Maybe this is a movement of Catholicism and Roman Catholic Church, that something's going to break open and we're going to see a new way of thinking from the church. I don't know. I have some more thinking on that. That's my 2 minutes. I'm going to go with 2 minutes for now. Let me hear what Todd or Aquarius has to say. Who do you want to go next?
Oh, well, Todd can speak. By all means, please.
Okay, Todd, take 2 minutes and then we'll go around another time. Go.
That is such a loaded question. You have to look at all the variables. You know, I'm sitting over here thinking, how do I respond to this? not being privileged to have all the information in front of me, not having the per se contract or what is expected of the papacy, I really can only speak from a layman's term. It's like I can say winners never quit, quitters never win, but there seems to be some other factors here. It is my understanding, I believe he had a procedure. He had to get his pacemaker recharged. I'm not a doctor or anything, so he had to get a procedure done for his pacemaker. So my question is, to answer the question, how is his health? He may be helping the Catholic Church out by saying, hey, this is what's going on. It's time to start thinking. You don't want to get caught off guard. You know, the pacemaker. And there are a lot of other legal actions that are still pending from the past pope. You know, the clergy, that's starting just to get a little bit more steam, too. There's a lot more information coming out about certain fathers and certain dioceses doing inappropriate things. So that's still flooded in. They're paying off a lot of things. And then there's the crisis with money nowadays, the economy. You know, the Catholic Church has a lot of money, and they have a lot invested in various, I can't say activities, but businesses. So I don't know the inner workings of what's really going on. From a man's standpoint, it ties right in again to It's a Man's World. What about the pride factor? He's able to step down from his position and humble himself. I can no longer do this. My health doesn't afford this. I'm not in the mood for it anymore. I've lost my desire for it. So why would you want to be somewhere where you don't want to be? Pride comes before destruction. So I'm looking at it in that aspect. He was able to step down, humble himself to give someone else a chance.
That's true. And both of you bring up awesome points. And that's why I'm so conflicted with this. I really am. I'm just on the fence with it. Because on one hand, like you said, he was able to humble himself. And the Bible does say, be humble. You know, Pope John Paul did it. And I mean, he did it till his death. And he was very unhealthy for a long time. He was ailing for a long time. I mean, I remember seeing footage of him waving to the crowds and his head was hanging over like a dead turkey. And he was still waving and sticking out his duty. So it's sort of, I don't know, you know, I mean, but at the same time, this is a man. This is not an immortalized God. He's still a human being, despite the fact that he has on this big robe and he's, you know, the leader of the Catholic Church. And he can get sick, too. And old people do need to retire. I don't know. I'm just so conflicted. But then again, I will say, I think this speaks volumes for women and everybody that questioned whether a woman could be a good leader, because I believe the queen is older than the pope, and people always said that because she was a woman, you know, she wouldn't be as good of a leader and things like that, and she wouldn't be able to stick it out, and she would cave in, you know, as soon as she felt weak or elderly. And she's still sticking it in, and she holds true to that. She believes that her job is forever. She's ordained for this job, and she has to hold on to it forever until her passing, and then Prince Charles will become king. And you see the Pope giving in. And I'm not saying giving in. I don't know what a situation is, but still, he's a man, and everybody said that a woman can handle it, and a man would not just, you know, sort of snap, you know, at the first sign of pressure or illness or whatever. So I think it's a good thing for women because it shows that women can be tough. But on the other hand, you know, I want to be fair to the Pope, and he's a human being. He could be sick or tired, but at the same time, it's a forever job, you know, so you can't just give in. So I don't know. I'm so conflicted. It could go either way.
Well, you have to visualize the last Pope that before he passed. To me, I'm trying to find some words here to be PC, politically correct. It seems as though they were propping him up. He looked robotish. He looks like someone had a stick just holding him up, and he was going through the motion. And it was a sad sight to see someone to be on display like that in that time. It's the thousands of people he's attempting to bless them during a very precious moment in a religious time. And he was barely able to really do the tradition. And I felt like, whoa, enough is enough. Let's get someone else in here. Because you imagine a young children seeing this man is dying. They was looking at death in motion. He was dying a slow death. It's almost as though the train has left the building any day now. And so within the last few days, you heard that the Pope has passed away. But 48 hours prior, we was witnessing this man is dying. We're not going to really just let him die in peace and, you know, in dignity. Because to me, it's like, I wouldn't want to be on display like that. Still alive, just barely holding on, you know. I'm looking like a Muppet, and someone's really dictating my every move. I can understand the president did that. Forget which one, but he had a disease. Whereby, was it polio? And, you know, I can understand that there was people holding him up to support him. But with the last pope, before he met his demise, it was very heart-wrenching to watch him perform his religious duties to fulfill his lifelong contract to the Catholic Church. And that's all I can say on it, because it was a very sad picture to see him on display like that, in my opinion.
Oh, no, right. I know. I completely agree with that. It was, and that's why, and again, that's why I'm so torn, because, I mean, on one hand, he was, oh my goodness, I was speaking on your time, Mr. Todd. But no, I mean, that's, I totally agree. Like, on one hand, it's very hard to see. And I, that's why I say you have to remember that this is a man. This is not an immortalized God. This is a man whose his health is failing. But on the other hand, when he took the job, and when all popes took the job, you go into that knowing that you're going to get old with this job, that you are going to be, you know, falling over, not able to hold your head up one day. And so you're not going into this blind. You know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, it's like I was talking earlier with DJ Showtime about football and how they're trying to soften the sport now and make it less dangerous. You know, when you are becoming a football player, I know it's a dangerous sport and I know people get brain damage and they get hurt and all that stuff. But you know, you're not being sold a fake picture. Nobody's saying you're going to go in and play golf and then all of a sudden you're getting knocked in the head. You know what football is when you sign up for it. You know what being the Pope is when you sign up for it. You are going to die with this. And so it's, you know, do you take empathy on that person or do you say, hey, look, buddy, this is the job. Wouldn't be a man.
Right. Deal with it. Wouldn't it be interesting if the papacy made a change to the Catholic Church where there were term limits for popes? And you'd say, you can be pope for 10 years. Here's the minimum age you have to be. And whatever age you start at, you can go for 10 years. Wouldn't it be interesting? I have a feeling about churches and religions, and it is this, that a long time ago, in order to organize people and to get control of a chaotic world, religions were the law. And in this particular case, Christianity, which the main portion of it was Catholicism, was a large part of the law. That is what ruled the communities. And the popes and everyone below them were taking care of all of their communities. People learned to read. People learned to relate to each other. They took care of each other. They forgave each other. They prayed. They took their day of rest. And there were all of these rules. The Ten Commandments are in there. And all of the other religions also have their rules. So here are these religions that were the law, but as the world grew and as more people came into being, we had to figure out new ways to organize ourselves and control the chaos that we humans bring. And so there became this secular law along with the religious law. And they started to kind of separate themselves. And one of the things that I know about Catholicism is that Martin Luther, who was a Catholic, really was upset with how the Catholic Church was running itself, and he felt that they were letting people pay for to be absolved of their sins. And one of the things that he did was he wrote a thesis. It was called 95 Theses, and he had it printed and put all over, and he protested the church, and that's when the church split up, and he felt that they were not doing right by the people. And things started to fall apart. And now we have the secular laws. And here in the United States, separation of church and state. And so Catholicism isn't necessarily the law of the land anymore, but they still act like the law of the land. And so I think that it is time for the Catholic Church to change. And this resignation is part and parcel to that. We may not even know that this is perhaps the best thing that could happen. And we're finding out about the different lies, they call them, the secrets, that he had the pacemaker and he fell down in a bathroom in Mexico and was bleeding, but no, they didn't tell anyone. And they have shipped off all of the clergy that did the deeds against young men, you know, all the sexual allegations, that they won't report them to the regular law. They just move them around within the church. Maybe they're having a coming out of sorts and things are going to change. So I on the one hand, I think it's very hypocritical to commit to forever until death and then quit. But on the other hand, I think maybe this is the kind of change that we need, and some new paradigms will be opened up. And I like what you said about women and the Queen and the Pope. I would hope that perhaps women may be able to come into the church and be in leadership positions more than just singers. So that's my thinking. What more thoughts? More thoughts?
I totally agree that she has really outperformed him, per se, in terms of image to keep the body up, because everyone respects a healthy leader. And that goes back to show, you take the Queen's position, you put a parade, she's doing the Olympics, was doing her thing. She was human. But had the Pope been there, the past one, barely going through the motion, you take from the festivity a little bit, because, oh, look at the Pope, he's on his final days. But then again, with the Queen, hey, she looks so vibrant. She's a hero. She's inspirational to her fellow females. But men is like, you know, in a way, I would applaud her. She's taking good care of herself. She's proven it wrong. That, hey, a woman can do this. And I'm not pro-woman, I just give everyone a chance.
Yeah.
You know, give everyone a chance.
You know, you and I were talking earlier about men and crying and men and war.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, along with the things that I've already talked about, this is a wonderful example of a man doing what he thinks is right for him. And whether he's a hypocrite or whether it's a change for the church or whether they lied about whether he fell down or whether he has a pacemaker, this is a person who has made a decision that he wants to stop doing what he's doing, and he has had the guts to do it. So that may supersede everything else. As a man, he took inventory and decided he didn't want to have war inside of himself, right? And he wanted to step aside so someone else could do a good job, because he wouldn't be able to give it the attention that it needed.
Hey, that could follow the definition of a true man.
That is true. I mean, I would like to think that we're not going to criticize him and view him as a weak man because he chose to step down, and because I think in past times in history, people hold men to a higher standard and they always have to be strong, and it's okay for a man to be weaker. Men can't always hold on. Sometimes they do have to step down. So it's so in that case, I try to avoid criticizing him and just looking at it like, oh, well, you know, weak man, because sometimes men do have a weaker side, or it's not a sign of weakness. Sometimes it takes more strength to step down and say, this is no longer for me. So that there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm so conflicted in my head. I think anybody listening can tell that. Half of me is like, this is wrong. The other half of me is, this is right.
Same here. You heard me go back and forth a couple times.
Right.
Well, it's an issue that's unfolding. I'll be interested to watch it unfold and listen to how it goes and who comes into the appointment to be the next pope. And a friend of mine and I were talking about it. We hope that it is a Latin pope, a North American or South American Latin pope.
we were hoping
that would be really exciting and not a European based pope. Yeah, so that we thought that
very
would be interesting.
Actually, Pope Benedict the 16th is the first pope not to be Italian in a very long time. He's German, actually. So,
right.
It is going in that direction where we're diversifying a bit. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah.
That would be very exciting and interesting. Well, I did have one listener text in.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, listener. And you know what the listener said?
What's that?
What, the Pope resigned? We gave information, and now that person knows because they were listening to the show.
Yay.
So thank you very much.
Maybe it's a perfect time for Tag the Station, huh?
Go.
You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
All right. Well, for the last 10 minutes, let's do our think tank. We sort of were already doing that, but here's how I would like it to go. Todd's going to read us a little piece or give us a synopsis of a piece that was in the newspaper. He's going to give us his thoughts, and then DJ Aquarius and I are going to disagree. Whether we agree or not, we are going to disagree. We're going to find a way to disagree. And sometimes it's hard for people to be in conflict, but we are going to practice our think tank session in disagreeing. So Todd, lay it on us, and we'll trade off, and we'll remember what time it is too.
I have in front of me, I'll be reading from an article written by Marin independent journalist Vicky Lawson. Monkey Mind author Daniel Smith brings his humor and anxiety to Marin for a panel talk on irrational fears. The title is anxious minds. Misery may love company, but Daniel Smith takes no comfort in knowing that 40 million Americans are suffering from anxiety like he does. Despite the numbers, anxiety is a lonely business, full of shame, embarrassment, and desire to hide what's really going on so people don't think you're bonkers. What do you ladies think? In regards to anxiety, do you have any fears, any anxieties that prompts up with you? I know I was a very anxious person until I started my journey. I learned at peace. I learned to calm it down. But most of my anxiety was the psychobabble, learning to shut my mind down, just talking to myself, all the negative things that I was saying to myself, reaffirming what other people were saying made me anxious about life. Oh, I'm behind schedule. Oh, I'm at this age. I have to do this. Oh, I'm not married. Oh, my God. I have to find someone. It's getting too late. I'm on top of the hill now.
Dude, get over it. Just turn it off.
It's anxiety.
Just turn it off.
Anxiety.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's nothing. It's nothing.
It's nothing.
Come
it's
on
just
now.
No. You're no, no, it's no, just no. A fake thought in your head.
Yeah, okay.
You are so, you know, you're just making up stuff.
So when I'm walking down the street and I catch the attention of a young lady, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, put my, what the young people say, swag on, I'm trying to get her attention. What if she just looked at me like, and you're how old?
Get over it. Just get over it.
Society wants me to be aggressive, though, but then they want me to get over it.
Be
what
yourself.
Am I supposed to fight for?
I have to tell you, as a woman, there's nothing more I find attractive than a guy just being himself and just comfortable in his own skin. But the minute I feel like a guy is showing off or not being himself, I'm totally turned off.
But how do you know that person is really being himself? Maybe
you can
he's
sense
fine.
It. It's an energy that's put energy? Out. It really is. It's a vibe. You can always tell when somebody's comfortable in their own skin or when they're not. And I know because I spent a long time not being comfortable in my own skin because I was always the oddball. And
you know, I was the great actor now. I could really put on some Denzel moments whereby I would put on the show to fit your certain desire. If you wanted me to be the happy-go-lucky person, the comfort person, I would read your vibe. Oh, she likes someone who's strong and intelligent, who could tell a joke. So I'm with you. I would put on that comedic face. But deep down inside, it's like, why am I doing this?
But that's temporary. Eventually, the truth is always going to come out. And then she's going to find out that she's going to meet the real you. And then it's going to,
so
you know.
So that's what starts the anxiety there. You have to put on these dogs and pony shows for you ladies.
But girls do the same thing. I can't tell you how many times I have gone out of my way to totally act like somebody that's not me just to get a guy's attention.
Oh, so you lie and you fake.
No, oh, I have. I've gotten over that. I don't do that anymore. So, I'm just, you know what? I'm me. If you don't dig me, then,
hit
the highway.
Did you find that as creating anxiety for yourself?
Yeah, it's very nervous. It stresses you out when you're trying to be somebody that's not you, because at the end of the day, all you can be is you. That's the best you can be anyway, so don't worry about it.
She just told me to get over it. How am I supposed to get over it? It's not that simple. The guy code. Be strong for the ladies. Open the door for the ladies. Da-da-da-da-da for the ladies. You have to do all those things, but you find yourself doing those things, and other ladies come up, I'm Miss Independent. I don't need none of that.
Right, and they kick you in the teeth.
Yeah, kick you in your teeth, and you be like, whoa. So the missed messages, and of course, the women are from Mars, and women from Venus, and men are from Mars. So the language that's used, it promotes that anxiety.
Well, I mean, I have that too. I mean, I'm very tomboyish in a way. I'm a girly girl, but at the same time, I'm very tomboyish. I love sports and whatnot. And you always get this message that you're just supposed to be this sort of empty-headed bimbo to impress a guy. And I've always worried that if I'm not being that, and if I'm just being myself and talking about skateboarding or, you know, whatever it is I like to talk about, I'm not as much of a turn-on as the other flitty-headed girls. But, you know, I've just gotten to a point I'm okay. And you end up finding that right person when you're yourself, because the person that really appreciates you for you is going to come
along.
So
are you saying that if you are yourself, you'll be less anxious? If you are your most natural self and you follow your most basic instincts, you'll be less anxious?
Yes, you will. And you'll learn to appreciate yourself even in moments where you find it hardest to be yourself.
Well, let's see what Daniel Smith has to say about this.
Well,
he quotes, anxiety not only can be funny, but everyone knows it can't be funny. That's quote Smith. Smith says, everyone knows that it's not funny, but it can be funny. So I'm taking it as a note. Do we laugh at ourselves about these little things that we go through, these rituals between the male and the female? It's like producing this anxiety. It's like, okay, I have to do 25 push-ups a day in order to get my chest out, for me to have confidence to walk up straight to get a lady's attention. When all along she doesn't want that, she may just like your smile.
Right, and down below, as you're walking around in the world, you've got this anxious radio wave going, you know, sending you all these messages, the fear of the unknown, what's going to happen, what am I going to do, and you're trying to operate in the world normally, but you're just like nervous underneath. Get over it.
So are we all prone to worry then? Are we all prone to worry?
Are we all prone to worry?
Absolutely. I think if it's not worried about impressing the opposite gender, you're worried about money or homework or something. Everybody's prone to some type of stress.
So let me ask you this before we wrap it up. Living in Marin County with the reputation that Marin County has in terms of money and wealth, prestige, do you think living in Marin County heightens that anxiety about being successful?
I mean, not for me. I mean, the day before, I was lucky enough to go to the Al Gore speech. Al Gore spoke here, folks, and it was really awesome. And I was surrounded by a lot of people that clearly came from a much more affluent background than I did. At least I felt so. And I was perfectly fine just sitting there. I am who I am. I have what I have or whatever it is I don't have. And I was okay. I mean, for some people, maybe. But over the years, I've gotten pretty comfortable in my own skin. So,
all right. So do you guys feel like we were just arguing?
That's a healthy debate.
Was it a healthy debate?
A healthy debate.
I didn't feel an argument because my ears didn't get hot. Okay. When I'm arguing, my ears get hot, but they get really warm.
Okay, and I went against almost everything that I believe just to get into a healthy debate.
Healthy debate.
I am so happy that we got to practice our think tank. Okay, we just got a text from one of our listeners saying, "Great debate, fantastic, holy smokes, this is really wonderful. Thank you for your feedback.
Thank you, listener.
Thank you,
listeners. Hey, we need to have DJ Aquarius pick a power thought card. Before we end.
Here we go. It says, I turn every experience into an opportunity. Each problem has a solution. All experiences are opportunities for me to learn and grow. I am safe. I like that.
That's great. And why don't you pick your angel message?
Put your angel in flight.
Oh, I got spontaneity. I picked that one the first week I was on with you.
Oh, I like that.
This card sticks with me.
That sticks
with
you. It's
my friend.
I like that. Okay, Todd, what was your angel message in your power card?
Purification. My work is deeply fulfilling. Today, I give my best to that which I do, knowing that when one experience is completely completed, I am led to even more fulfilling and rewarding experiences.
My angel message was tenderness, and I'm turning that tenderness onto myself. I'm giving myself the flexibility and tenderness. And my power thought card was, I accept my uniqueness. There is no competition and no comparison, for we are all different and meant to be that way, whether we are having a healthy debate or agreeing with one another.
Aww.
We are special and wonderful. I love myself, and I want to say out there that everyone listening, you can love yourself. And here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. And I want to say that if you want to catch up with me between shows or send a request, you can find me on my Facebook page, Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. All of these messages, all of these debates, all of these discussions, our two-minute talks, our random readings, our think tank are all meant for you to hear and use in your life. Let them into your heart and soul for encouragement and empowerment. I hope that within these messages in today's show, you have heard something that has helped or inspired you. And as always, feel free to toss what doesn't work and use what you like the best. And no matter where you are on the journey of life, you can.
Stand tall, it gets a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together. Stand strong, it gets a little better now. We can break it down, so we can make it.
This is DJ Noni, encouraging you to reach your highest potential. Life, we can do this thing. Thanks for tuning in to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. Have a great week, and I'll be back with you next Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. here on radio.dominican.edu.
Stand tall, it gets a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together. Stand strong, it gets a little better.